I'm talking today with Sammy Miller, who's a candidate for State House in District 15, which is up in Montgomery County, the Woodlands. Sammy, that's what I would charitably describe as a pretty deep red area. How do you run as a Democrat in a place like that?
With great care. When I opened my campaign, I got a lot of smiles, if not outright laughter, when I told them I was running as a Democrat. And I believe that the number of years it's been since a Democrat ran for this position is something like 14. My incumbent that I'm running against has run twice without an opponent. Well, I should say he has had a very slight amount of opposition. He had one Libertarian candidate. But it's been an uphill battle.
So what inspired you to run, and what kind of reaction do you get when you knock on someone's door and say, I'm running as a Democrat for this seat?
Well, I was persuaded to run by several individuals, and I was told that my incumbent opponent had angered the local teachers by telling them that he promised them that he would not support vouchers, and then he flip-flopped and said that he would. And now he, of course, is in the position to take over the chairmanship of the Public Education Committee in Austin for Grusendorf, and is celebrating as such. But that was the reason I ran, is because I heard of this incredible injustice that had been done to the teachers. And they came to me and promised me support.
And what kind of reaction do you get from people you visit and try to sell yourself to?
This I get a lot of guarded support. Mainly from Republicans. A lot of Republican women have promised me support, but they don't want anybody to know it. I get, as you might imagine, I get some lukewarm support from the Democrats, because everyone in our area has just about thrown in the towel. But I'm hoping to change that. I'm hoping to get them galvanized again. So it may take a while, but they're going to start listening.
What kind of Democratic infrastructure, if any, is there in Montgomery County these days?
Zip, zilch, zero, none. Absolutely none. We had a very wonderful county chairman, and he was, for one reason or another, there was a factional disagreement with the few remaining Democrats in our local party, and it drove him out. And we desperately need him, but he doesn't answer his phone calls, and our present county chairwoman is very inexperienced. So we're really at ground zero.
Okay. Your district mostly encompasses the Woodlands, does it not?
It does, the Woodlands and Magnolia.
Okay. What do people in the Woodlands want out of a state representative? I mean, the Woodlands is kind of a different place than Houston, and
yes,
that
it's
not really, it's not a city per se.
It's an unincorporated
area. What kind of governance do they have?
None.
And what do they look for in a state representative?
The funny thing about the Woodlands, and we like to call it Stepfordville, is that it has absolutely no government per se. Most people who buy real estate and move into that area are not aware of this, because it looks just like a city and it feels like a city, but it's not one. It is the most magnificent residential area ever planned by an oil company, is what it is. It's a corporation. Only now that the Woodlands has changed hands umpteenth times and been sold, bought and sold, you know, for the highest dollar that anyone can squeeze out of it, only now are people beginning to realize that all the millions and millions of dollars that the taxpayers have poured into the coffers of the quote-unquote government, which is not a government at all, do not buy us the services that we require, such as reasonable police protection. We do have a state-of-the-art fire department. However, this is not enough. We still need police protection. We have no deed restriction enforcement. There are many things that people take for granted that we do not have. This is a big issue. It's very, very hot right now in the Woodlands, and this is how I got into politics.
I mean, I assume that, you know, what governance there is largely county. You have a sheriff's department and maybe some constables and whatnot for police protection. Again, I mean, how does the state, how can a state representative help fill the gaps?
A state representative can require, can work with his or her colleagues to bring about legislation to either incorporate or annex the Woodlands so that we may become a real city. And until such a thing happens, and of course everyone in the Woodlands is very much more in favor of incorporation than they are in favor of annexation, and Bill White has promised us we would not be annexed for a while.
Yeah, there's an agreement with Houston to not annex
ETJ.
until until 2011. But interestingly, the place that's sort of encroaching on the Woodlands, if you will, and trying to do some annexation is Conroe.
But that ETJ was formed in the early 80s, I believe.
I mean, there was just a newspaper article about them trying to take some non-developed areas.
Well, they did actually. The talk is about Harper's Landing. And that ETJ was settled early on. Actually, my husband was working with those people many years ago, and it was always there. But like so many things in our area, it was not made public to the people who buy their property and settle. And I would say that there is great need for a truth in lending or public disclosure attached to real estate. For people like us, because we have bought into things that really don't exist.
All right. When you say incorporation, what do you envision? And how would this come about?
If it were possible, and believe me, I would love to see this happen, because of the reality of the situation, I don't think it's very probable. In order to incorporate, there needs to be legislation, and we need to remove ourselves from some people regard it as a threat, but certainly the possibility of Harris County annexing us. And people say, City of Houston annexing us. And people say, well, they can't jump over, but they can do it.
Jump over like spring, you mean?
Yeah, they can do it. They can do, they're the 500-pound gorilla. They can do whatever they want to. And I'm sure the revenues are there and they're very attractive. So.
Would you say there's a consensus in the Woodlands as to what people want? I mean, incorporation,
absolutely.
Annexation, or status quo?
There is a very small minority that is not part of that consensus, and that would be the people who are sitting in the quote-unquote government seats right now, and they would like to see what I regard as a continuation of the status quo, and they call it a managed district, a special managed district, which is more of the same quasi-government, which does not answer to the citizens.
Would it be like a management district that exists in Harris County, the West Chase district? Is that what they're talking about, something like that?
I don't believe it's quite that solid.
Okay.
This would be more like what we have now.
Okay. So, but the consensus is for incorporation.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things about Montgomery County, a couple of years ago in the news, there were a number of little flare-ups over things like library books and murals in the men's room at a restroom that some people
hanging,
got there.
Hanging scarves on statues.
Yeah,
yes.
That people got their noses out of joint over, and it was a big deal for a little while before it finally went away.
Mm-hmm.
I think a group called the Republican Leadership Council, led by the county judge, Alan Sadler.
Yes, Mark Sadler is still wreaking havoc over there.
I guess my question is, it's easy for someone, here in Houston to sit back and make fun of that. But my question is, is that a prevailing opinion up there, or is it more of a loud minority?
It is a great reflection to the molecule of what's going on in Washington. Washington no more reflects the constituents of the United States right now than the animals in the zoo reflect the people who feed them. I'm sorry, that's unkind. But no, the RLC does not reflect the opinion of most of the Woodlands and Magnolia. The people who are of this bent of mind are very virulent, and they're very intolerant, and they're kind of scary, but there's not that many of them. However, it's like so many things. In both sides of our both sides of our political aisle down the middle, we have what seems to have been wingnuts. The wingnut factor has become very strong and loud and effective on both sides of the aisle. We have extremists on both sides, and this is what's happened because the rest of us are busy taking care of our children, going to work, watching television, taking care of our spouses. And no one wants to do the dirty, gritty, time-consuming work of protecting our party platforms and protecting our political process. And this is what has happened. We had the lions come in, and they decimated the herd, and now the hyenas have come in and are fighting over the leavings. And that's the way I look
that's
at it.
That's a colorful way of putting it.
Sorry.
That's all right. Let's talk a little about public education.
Okay.
You know, I dare say the Woodlands would be considered a fairly property-rich district, so they may
yes,
have done
is.
Fairly well out of the last special session with the tax cuts and some of the restrictions on recapture for the school districts. What are you hearing from the people in the Woodlands, and what do you think needs to be done?
I'm hearing doctors and lawyers screaming bloody murder.
Because they're now going to be subject to that new business tax?
They're regarding this, and I think it is accurate to call it an income tax. It's a professional income tax. Our schools have been impacted just as hard as any other schools. Just because we're a rich district doesn't mean we don't feel the pain. And many of, I can't use names, but many of our people high up in the district have told me that if something is not done and quickly, that we are in dire straits. There cannot be any more cuts made, because since the GOP came into power, there has been a stranglehold that has increased and increased and increased, and they were up against the wall with the last cutback, and now they're told that there must be more.
Yeah, I mean, I hear like in places like Kingwood, where it was the kind of place that people tend to move because they like the schools,
mm-hmm.
that there's a lot of pressure on things like, you know, AP programs
mm-hmm.
and music and other things that people want for their kids, especially kids that are going to be trying to apply to colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing the same things in the Woodlands, that there's pressure on those programs?
Absolutely. I had two children who spent 7 and 8 years in music, in cello. And they're you know, I was very proud. They're presently, you know, this is always the first thing to go is the music, the arts, you know, the fine arts. For some reason, they never touch the football.
But can't imagine why.
I can't either. But these are the inroads that are being made in the name of economizing. And it's obscene. It's frankly obscene, because that's what separates us from other people.
What do you think the legislature needs to do going forward to address the coming shortfalls that everyone predicts in the tax system with the business tax not being able to pay for the property tax cuts, and with the needs to address, you know, a continually growing faster than revenue school system? Where do you think the legislature needs to go next?
I think it's predictable. I think those of us who are members of the Democratic Party regard what has gone on as an obscenity. This robbing from our public institutions and dismantling and starving things that nurture and educate our children. And what needs to be done is to roll back some of the almighty tax cut policy and take the money and put it back into our public institutions. It can't be any other way.
Okay.
We are not a poor state. And to treat to treat our institutions, to treat our health care as if it is something that should be doled out to the highest bidder, to treat our education as if it can't possibly be supported. This is not what we're about. This is not what Americans are about, let alone Texans.
Okay. The subject of appraisal caps is going to be coming up next. Where do you stand on that?
I have heard, I hate to say it, at the Sharp Commission, I heard Republicans saying that appraisal caps are a danger, which would naturally make me have a knee-jerk, you know, affinity for them. But after talking with people that I think know what they're talking about, I think I come down on the side of appraisal caps. And I think that's where to go. At this moment in time, that's the way it
where
looks
would you
to
put
me.
The cap? I mean, there's been proposals of 5% and 3%, both of which generate a lot of pushback from municipalities and counties.
Yeah, I guess I would probably put it at 5.
Okay. You talked about health care. What is your, in your opinion, is the biggest issue that we face in the state with health care, and what should be done about it?
The biggest issue that we face is children growing up without insurance and without protection. And this is a horror. We can't have this. No child should be without health care any more than they should be without food or that they should be without education. This should be a thing that a child in the state of Texas has a right to expect. I don't know any other way around it.
So you would be in favor of restoring cuts to CHIP and fully funding it?
Yeah, without doubt. That's the least.
Your opponent was recently cited as one of, I believe, only 4 or 5 Republicans mm-hmm. to have directed some campaign funds towards paying rent mm-hmm. for a place in Austin for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He's since said, you know, didn't realize that was wrong, I'm not going to do it anymore. Which is actually a better response than some of the others have made. This is an ethical issue, and you've been talking some about ethical issues in your campaign. First of all, what's your comment on your opponent's situation, and what one change to the ethical rules for House members would you like to see enacted?
Okay. We have known about this practice for a long time. Ever since I got interested in politics, I have noticed that this sort of thing was done. I think that everyone in Texas has delay fatigue. We are a little bit tired of seeing things like this in the news. My opponent, actually, I believe that he used the word rent, but the fact was that it was purchase. It was purchase money, and the payment was $1,800. And he very carefully selected the amount of space that he took up in the condominium, the bedroom that he took up, and this was how he arrived at the $500. Well, in our community property laws, and we live in a community property state, you may not separate your spouse's property from your own if you sleep in the same bed and live in the same house. If you're married, it's not separate. Which is very surprising to hear that his campaign manager, who is a collections lawyer, would have advised him that this could be done. It's very, very peculiar. But he, you know, I said when the newspaper contacted me that, you know, he'd probably find a way to give it back, to give the money back. And he made a statement afterwards that he would. I believe, and everyone I talk to says the same thing, I believe the only way that we're going to avoid selling out our state and our democracy for the highest dollar, the highest amount of dollars, is to make our campaign machine publicly financed. And it must be transparent. Otherwise, we're just talking about who's got the most money. And the GOP is legendary in its ability to raise money, and so long as they can raise money, but they can't govern.
All right. So, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I want to thank you
all right,
for taking
well,
time.
Well, I want to thank you for talking to me then, Sammy Miller. Thank you very much, and good luck with your campaign.
Thank you.